Now, let me address the question many of you still may have on Haiti. Some of you may still have on Haiti. And I'm not going to begin by asking if the mainstream press coverage is wrong about Haiti. That's as pointless as asking if fire is hot. So let's begin here. Let's begin at this point. Why is the press so wrong in Haiti? And is it intentional? One of the main reasons the American press, in particular, is wrong in Haiti, about Haiti, is that it's getting its information from local Haitian newspapers, which are predominantly owned by Aristide's opposition. That's a fact. And these people don't like Aristide for the same reason many selfish interests in our country don't like Aristide. And that's because Aristide, he's not willing to go all the way in whoring out Haiti to big business interests at the expense of the Haitian people. The success of the Haitian people extinguishes the greedy dreams of foreign opportunists and local power-starved friends of the former dictatorships. And when I say the greedy dreams of opportunists, I'm talking about sweatshop labor and the potential to develop more of it, lots more of it, in Haiti. And if you don't think this is a reality, that is this salivation over the chance to hire labor overseas, then tell me, what's this whole outsourcing thing that we've been hearing about in the news? These millions of jobs, American jobs leaving, jobs going to India and elsewhere. It's about cheap foreign labor. It's about cheap foreign labor, and it's real. And it's rooted in greed, not only the greed of companies, but sometimes the irresponsible consumer behavior of some of us Americans that want low prices at the expense of people. And a minor aside, too, I think we're all guilty of patronizing companies that are in one way or another exploiting cheap labor overseas, because we don't know any better. We just don't know any better. I'm sure I'm guilty of patronizing some of these companies. It's true what they say. Everybody wants the hamburger, but nobody wants to know how the cow was killed. Nobody wants to see the cow getting killed. They just want their burger. You can hold all the other information. And we all, myself included, need to take a good hard look at how we're spending our money these days, because responsible consumerism is going to have to become something we more seriously engage in. But back to Haiti. It's as simple as this. Aristide wants more for the Haitian populace, the one that had democratically elected him, like it or not, and support him. Aristide wants more options for these people than just operating a machine press for some foreign business interest. He wants Haitian people to have the chance to go to school, to become doctors, to become lawyers, to become educators, to become entrepreneurs. But you see, that idea, that very hope, creates a real problem for the businesses that want a desperate and starving labor market. Because educated people don't work in sweatshops. They don't work in sweatshops. When you give a citizen an option, a real choice, they will opt out of factory work damn near every time. And they'll opt out of wages that, were they any lower, would be more akin to slavery. Let's look at America. In America, our teenagers, our youth, okay, a lot of them, they work in factories and fast food industries for a little while. For a little while. And isn't that nice that they can work there for a little while? For a little while so they can have spending cash while they're in high school. Or while they're in college. But many of them don't intend to stay at those jobs, do they? I mean, $5-6, maybe $7 an hour is good enough to buy a case of Busch Light, or go to the mall, or get some new clothes or some new sneakers, or see a movie. But try living on that money. And then, after you realize how tight that is, try dividing that amount by a conservative amount, let's say one-tenth of that. Now try to get by on that, even in a country as poor as Haiti. good luck.
If you need me, Negro, I'll be in my office in Manhattan, donning my third mochaccino. Did you know that one of these cost about as much as you'll make today? I'm such a good business person.
See, as soon as our kids get their degree, they go out and find higher-paying job or pursue a career. Do they not? They don't stay in the factory. They don't stay at McDonald's. They don't stay at Domino's. They don't stay at Arby's. They don't keep flipping burgers, making pizzas. They don't keep loading trucks or assembling parts. Because that's for suckers, they'll say. I betcha.
No, Tommy, that's for niggers and spicks. Excuse me, I mean unskilled, stupid Mexicans. Don't you listen to Limbaugh?
We all want more for our kids, and we help them out as much as we can. And look, I know you're going to think that's really harsh and racist. I'm just, frankly, I'm trying to scratch the surface here. I'm trying to get to the heart of a mindset that exists. That really does. And I'm not going to say it's pervasive, but it's out there. So if you don't like the fact that I explicitly say the N-word, understand that I'm not saying it with malice. I'm here to illustrate the hate some people have and the way some people are being viewed by other people, and they know who they are. So if that turns you off, I'm sorry. But you know what? Candid language needs to be used to make candid points. And that's that. But look, the fact is we all want more for our kids, our children. And we help them out as much as we can, don't we? So they can achieve, so they can get more out of life. But some people out there don't want the same thing for a bunch of people that I bet you many of them do refer to as niggers when the door is closed. Racism is a component of this, like it or not. Now, I do believe that today, in modern society, in this country, and in the world, economics is trumping racism right now. I believe that. I do believe that. But a component of racism still exists in this equation. Now, I'm not an excuse maker. Those of you who have been here before, who have heard me before, know that I'm against affirmative action. But that doesn't mean I'm incapable of recognizing racism or racist motivations, and hating them, by the way. And I'm capable of recognizing racism. And again, I'm just saying that this is a part of this equation. It certainly is. Economics might be a bigger part of it, but you know, economics and racism go hand in hand to some degree, to one degree or another. And I like when I can use Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, to illustrate a point. The point I made, and rather potently earlier, is that there is a mindset among certain Americans that want the low-skill, low-pay jobs to be handled by minorities, and also by the white lower economic class. Again, they won't say that. You'll never get them to say that. Not while their guard is up. But do you need the devil to tell you that he has bad intentions, or do you just look at his track record? It is classism, and it is racism. What a lovely combination. But let me share you the Limbaugh example that spawned that hypothetical quote I made earlier. Let me show you a Limbaugh example. Here's a quote, a real quote now, showing how Limbaugh weighed in on low-skill, low-wage work back in 1993, I believe. Yeah, it was 93. He's talking about Mexicans. He's talking about Mexicans, but just connect the dots to Haitians. The effect is the same. He said this: if we are going to start rewarding no skills and stupid people, I'm serious. Let the unskilled jobs that take absolutely no knowledge whatsoever to do, let the stupid and unskilled Mexicans do that work. Now, this guy went on the radio and said that. Can you smell the hate in those words? The point is that some people want the low-paying jobs to be done by a certain type of people. And I believe that mindset, to some degree, is at work in the Haiti crisis. I couldn't do 4 segments on this topic and not bring that up. This is going to be a very small part of my broadcast today, but I had to bring it in. Again, you guys know I don't like to resort. I don't play the race card here. I'm not a victim seeker. But the truth is the truth. And if there is racism, there's racism. Doesn't mean we can't call people on that. And I will. Business interests, foreign business interests, and local business interests do have a plan for Haiti. The problem is it begins with their own wallets. Ask an American citizen who has been screwed over by a greedy American company about the compassion of some of our worst business leaders. Ask former employees of Enron to elaborate on how pure the motivations of some of our business interests here are. If some American companies are willing to screw over Americans, just imagine how like-minded businesses will treat foreign labor. Remember, in business, you get extra credit just for not being a complete prick. The bottom line to many is profit, not people. And Aristide, among others, know that if Haiti accepts any help from some of those those well-meaning foreign business interests, it's going to come with a hefty string attached, because the well-being of Haitians is not the bottom line of some of these businesses. And a disclaimer, I'm not indicting business as a whole. There are a lot of wonderful, fair-playing businesses in this country, and I don't mean to slam them all. Capitalism is the best system in the world. But capitalism, let me tell you how effective capitalism is, how strong the system is. Capitalism is so effective and so well-designed, it can thrive, even within the boundaries of fairness. And with a moderate degree of compassion at the same time. So this is not an anti-business rant. This is an anti-corruption rant. So you neocons that are just itching to say, you're anti-business, you're engaging in class warfare, stuff it. Stuff it. Try elsewhere. You're dealing with a red-blooded American, and that just eats at you. You need your opponents to be defined as a bunch of ultra-left-wing radical socialists who hate capitalism. Well, sorry, I don't, and I'm not. But I will call you on your BS. And that makes me very American. Anyhow, now, Haiti does need businesses. It does need businesses, its own businesses. But if Haitians are working for Haitian businesses, guess who's out of luck? The same foreign interests that want Aristide gone. The same foreign interests that want Aristide bye-bye. And have won as I deliver this monologue. Now, obviously, Haiti can't begin to satisfy all the sweatshop needs of some of the more ambitious companies out there. But to them, hey, they're not gonna look a gift horse in the mouth. They're not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. And they'll certainly take whatever exploitive labor they can get, even at the expense of the people that live there. Now, some argue that American and foreign business interests in Haiti aren't really that interested in Haiti, aren't even interested in Haiti at all, because they don't need Haiti. They're getting along just fine, just peaches, without making money in Haiti, without Haitian sweatshops and factories. My answer to that, remember what I told you earlier, this is not about necessity. It's about greed. You know what? I don't need a second car either, but I'll take one. I don't need a second slice of pie for dessert, but what the heck? If it's there for the taking, I'll have it. Do you get the point? And this is at the heart of why Haiti is being undermined. This is why democracy, which is a nice-sounding word that we apply selectively, is being threatened. This is why Aristide is being called a murderous thug. He he is not. There's a huge difference between orchestrating violence, and being involved in violent confrontations. If you're going to call Aristide a murderer, I'll hear you out, but you better be able to establish how he is directly responsible for it, and also eliminate all possibilities that any violence or casualties were not the result of him defending a democratic government and its representatives. Do you understand that? And if you're a former Devaluerist, Tonton Macoute, or any other plotting criminal, and have the unmitigated gall to call anyone else a murderer, you can excuse yourself from my presence, because your lies will fall on deaf ears. American can look at depictions of Aristide as a murderer this way. If you're gonna paint the picture, I want you to look at it properly. If you can comprehend that police officers that use deadly force are certainly not automatically murderers, then you can understand the fallacy of at least many of the allegations of Aristide's treachery. I'm not going to go out on a limb and categorically deny that some of Aristide's opponents haven't been killed. I won't go out on a limb and say that. But I have yet to see it proven that Aristide ever maliciously murdered someone that wasn't trying to do him in. There is something called self-defense. Perhaps you've heard of it. Hell, self-defense was the notion we used to invade Iraq last year, wasn't it? And that resulted in the deaths of thousands of Iraqis and hundreds of American soldiers under self-defense. Why is it so hard to appreciate now? Especially when Aristide's opponents have a real track record of murder. But now, some of the same people that were involved in murder, in the slaughter of Haitian citizens, and not self-defense, some of those people are trying to say that Aristide is a murderer for defending himself and the legitimacy of his administration. Guess what? When you try to kill the president, the FBI, the Secret Service, they might have to stop you. They might have to stop you dead in your tracks. So where does this leave us? Haitian people want to determine their own future, not be pawns in some foreign big business scheme. And if you think Haitian people are just going to lie down after decades of exploitation, abuse, and U.S.-backed dictatorships, then you don't know Haiti. And you don't know the Haitian people. The Haitian poor would rather continue to suffer under what's left of their own terms than allow criminals and loan sharks from the outside and the inside to dictate the terms of their future. Which answers what is probably the largest general question Americans have about Haiti, which is, when is Haiti going to finally get its act together and have a stable, self-sufficient, even thriving democracy, when we let it. Next segment.